Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. And as we do every month, we rotate with members of Dakota County staff. And we're so thrilled to have with us today Kelly Nicholson. She is the victim witness supervisor for Dakota County, and we are happy to be talking to her during National Crime Victims Rights Week. Kelly, so great to chat with you. I know you work for the county attorney's office, but that's about the extent of what I know about your position. Would you tell us about it, please?
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Mo, for having me on today. It is really a privilege to be able to share information about the work that we do here in the county attorney's office with the citizens of Dakota County, because most people don't know about us, which is a good thing. I always tell people when I meet them that I am sorry that circumstances have led them to be in contact with our office, but I'm always glad that we're here for them to support them and provide services when someone does unfortunately become a victim of crime. So just to give a little history, the Dakota County Attorney's Office started a victim services program back in 1977, and we were the third office, county attorney's office, in the state of Minnesota to have such a program, which was really forward-thinking. And honestly, I don't recall the name of the county attorney at that time, but I give that person a lot of credit for valuing victims of crime and the input that they wanted to provide in their own cases and how they wanted to participate in the court process. And this program allows people to do that. Just think, prior to that, if you were a victim of crime and you had questions about your case, there was really nobody for you to be able to contact and get that information from. So it was really important that the Dakota County Attorney's Office did that way back in 1977.
Wow, that is forward thinking, as you said. I guess I never would have thought that, you know, you take it for granted that this is something that's always been around.
Absolutely. I do a lot of training across the state with newer advocates and other criminal justice professionals. And the victim services movement didn't really start until the 1970s. And so when you think about the criminal justice process and how long that has been in place, we're still the new kids on the block, victim services. And so people are still very much learning about us and the services that we provide.
Well, tell us about some of those services, please, Kelly.
Absolutely. So again, just for a little history, in Minnesota in 1984, the legislature passed a statute, a law that said, if you are a victim or a witness of crime in Minnesota, you have rights to be notified of what's going on with your case, when there will be court appearances. You have the opportunity to provide input about what you would like to see happen. And it's our staff that field those calls and have those conversations. So when you become a victim of crime, it's our staff that would reach out by letter or phone or both, or email, and sometimes even text messaging in these days. And we would be able to say, the offender in your case has been charged, is making a court appearance. Here's when that appearance will be. Here's what you can expect will happen at that hearing. And then after that hearing happens, we would follow up again and say, okay, this is what truly did in fact happen, and this is what you can expect next. I think we live in such a society where crime is showcased on TV and in movies and on the media so much, but really we don't know much about how it really works.
No.
And so we think that crime happens and go to trial in an hour, because that's what we see on Law and Order, right? And in reality, cases can take months and months to go through the court process. And our staff are here for victims throughout that process to answer questions and concerns. So we help fulfill our office's statutory obligations of notification, but it goes beyond that as well. We're here to provide emotional support and crisis intervention and refer people to other community resources like 360 Communities. We very much want to partner with other programs to be able to find support for people in every way that they need it, because becoming a victim of crime can be extremely traumatic. Certainly you've got violent crimes where people are assaulted and injured and hurt, and obviously people are really impacted by that. But you've also got things like identity theft and burglaries and car theft that really impact how people live their day-to-day life and how they feel safe or don't feel safe from that point going forward, and all the things that they have to do in order to deal with what happened and figure out a way to move forward, even through that trauma.
This is really a very broad spectrum of the things that you do to help people, and I had no idea that you were housed in the county attorney's office. How do you get your leads? Do you follow up with everybody, or does the person that is a victim have to ask for some help?
We get our victim contacts from the police reports that we receive when people report a crime. And so our office is responsible for notifying people when we get those reports that either we have declined to file charges against an offender, which usually is because we don't feel we have enough evidence to prove a case beyond a reasonable doubt to a jury, or if we decide to file charges against somebody, we reach out and make that initial contact with people. And then we let individuals decide how much or how little contact they want with us. Because again, it can be very overwhelming, very confusing. Some people want to be involved in every step and know every single detail. And others, not so much, because it's just a lot to have to deal with and process emotionally. So we get our contacts from the police reports, and then we leave it up to individuals as to how much contact we have with them going forward.
And then can you help me? This is probably kind of a basic question, but when you said with the police reports, how does something become something that is a Dakota County crime versus, let's say, the city of Hastings?
Sure. Those cases are divided up by severity level. So if it is a felony level crime, it's going to come to the county attorney's office. If it is an offender who is a juvenile or under the age of 18, it will come to the county attorney's office. And if a crime is committed in one of the townships, they do not have city prosecutors to represent them, so those cases will come to the county. Otherwise, if it's a misdemeanor, a gross misdemeanor, those cases will go to the city.
And when you talk about the length of from when a crime happens to when it's resolved,
sure.
How does that work? And is that by severity then, the longer it would take if it's a more severe crime? Or I don't quite understand all that.
Sure. There's a lot of factors that go into how long a case can take to investigate and for it to move through the court process. With all of the technology that we have these days, that can slow things down in terms of being able to charge something. So think about, we have to get search warrants to look into people's phone records or their social media accounts, or to get information from their vehicles if we're dealing with a criminal vehicular operation or drunk driver kind of case. To get all of that data can take time and slow the process down in terms of when we can actually get a case charged. Once we actually file charges, again, there's a lot of different variables that go into how long a case takes to go through the court process. But on average, I would say you're looking at 6 to 9 months from the time it's charged to the time that you've got a sentencing hearing.
And this is something that you stay with people every step of the way. And I like how you mentioned if people need a little extra help, like in the mental health area, Dakota County really has a lot of services, I think, that we don't even know about that can help people.
Absolutely. Public Health has a newer program where they now embed social workers within several of the police departments in Dakota County, since we have such an issue with mental health and how that affects responses. And there's been a lot of concern about the ability to deal with those kinds of calls. So we've got social workers embedded in police departments. We've got an amazing crisis response team that also can help when somebody is really needing that extra mental health assistance.
And that's something that you would work directly with some of these other entities to try to get people the help that they need?
Yes, we certainly can connect people to those programs or refer people to those programs, whatever they're most comfortable with.
And tell us why you think it's a great idea that we are aware that it's National Crime Victims Rights Week.
Well, every April since 1981, nationally, this week has been recognized as Crime Victims Rights Week, and there's really two purposes for this week. One is to highlight and honor the experiences of crime victims and what they have gone through and how they have been able to heal and move forward. It's also meant to highlight and honor the advocates that work with those crime victims because it is hard work. The second main purpose is to really highlight the fact that there's still work to be done. And even though we've come a long way with being able to provide information and support to victims of crime, there's still a lot of things that would help the criminal justice system be more responsive, for the community to be more supportive, and for us to be able to create safe environments. So that's kind of the purpose of this week. And this morning, I was fortunate enough to be present at the county board meeting with several of the staff from our office, and the county board proclaimed that this is National Crime Victims Rights Week in Dakota County, that we're recognizing that.
And when you mentioned the public, how could we in the public help your position?
I think just being aware that we are here, so that if you become aware of a family member, a friend, a neighbor that becomes a victim of crime, to be able to say, you know what? I know that there are services available in the county. And it helps when people can call in. If I can't specifically address your need, I'm going to try my very best to try and connect you with services that will address the need. So it never hurts to call just to get the ball rolling in terms of what can we do for you? What services and assistance can we provide? Everything is free as a county member, or maybe you don't even live in Dakota County, but you were a victim of crime in Dakota County. All of our services are free. And so I think really word of mouth from community members to make sure that people are aware that these services are available is incredibly helpful.
And what would be a good phone number to call if somebody would like information?
The main number for the Dakota County Attorney's Office is 651-438-4438, and they can simply ask to speak with someone in victim services.
You know, you mentioned, Kelly, about how being a victim, you have to go through something and heal. And I think that's a really important way of looking at this, because we think about people that perhaps have a physical illness and they're going through a healing process, but you kind of take it for granted that people that have had some sort of crime impact their life, that has really impacted them in a way that they do need to heal, don't they?
Absolutely. I have been doing this for a really long time and have countless stories of probably every crime type and how it astonishes me the things that people endure and have to process. You know, something that doesn't seem like it could have a huge impact, I'll say, let's say check forgery, back when people really wrote a lot more checks than they do these days. But I'll never forget somebody calling and saying, you know, as a victim of check forgery, the bank shut down my account. I didn't know that. And I went to buy groceries for my family and my check was declined in line. And she said, I was embarrassed. I had no idea what was going on. I was confused. And there was all of these people standing behind her. And, you know, she couldn't buy the groceries. She had to go home with no food. She had no idea what was going on. And so it was really horrible for her then to start the process of talking to the bank and figuring out how this forgery happened and how to start up a new bank account and how to protect her accounts from that happening again. And just all of the things that you don't really think of that you have to take care of when something happens like this. Whenever you're a victim of crime, it involves some kind of loss. It could be financial, it could be a physical injury, it could be an emotional loss, like a loss of sense of control, a loss of your sense of security and safety. So whatever that loss is, people have to be able to acknowledge and deal with and process. And for some, it's a very long process to have to move through. It can take years.
Well, and how wonderful that there is somebody that can help through your victim witness program. Tell us a little bit about your background, because it's very fascinating that you've been doing this for so long. Where did your interest in this start?
Well, funny enough, I started out as a communications major. And even though I was a really good student, there was one class that I just couldn't get the grade that I needed to get accepted into the communications program. So at that point, my college advisor just said, look at the college courses and see what looks interesting to you and choose your major around that. So ultimately, I ended up graduating with a bachelor's degree in sociology and criminology. And then just by chance, after graduation, ran into a family friend, and she was friends with my parents, and I just always knew her as Mrs. Gustafson, didn't know what she did, and she said, well, what are you going to do now? And I replied, I have no idea. And she said, well, why don't you come shadow me for a day? Mm-hmm. And she worked in the Anoka County Attorney's Office as the supervisor of victim services. So I did. I went and shadowed her for a day. And then when her intern left to go back to school in the fall, she called and said, hey, do you want to work with us part time? And, you know, that was back in September of 1995. So it's been a while, and I've been doing this ever since.
Well, it certainly sounds like it's right up your alley, and you do a great job of it. Kelly, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate you shedding light on this wonderful division at Dakota County. And Kelly Nicholson is the victim witness supervisor for Dakota County, and she works in the county attorney's office. And do contact them if you have any questions about if you've been the victim of a crime, as we like to educate people on National Crime Victims' Rights Week. Great to chat with you, Kelly. Thank you so much for your time. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.